Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 7. And thank you, worship team, and all that you've done to help us worship today. I'd also like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. Church family, if you have kids that go to Children's Church, we do that every Sunday except the second Sunday of the month. Just so you'll know, sometimes we have new folks that when we come to that second Sunday and I don't say you're dismissed to Children's Church, they wonder why. Well, the reason is because just one Sunday a month, we want to make sure that they have an opportunity to be here in this service and learn how to get through the service, maybe take some notes. We're going to provide some worship pages for them during this time, and we do that on Sunday nights as well. So I wanted you to know that. We're thankful for all the folks that lead out in that children's church. It's an amazing ministry. I also want to say, while you're finding your place there in Judges 7, that next Sunday I'm going to start our Christmas series, Christmas Around the Manger, and the children are going to help me. We'll still have children's church on the appropriate weeks, but during this very beginning time of the message, we're going to have some children up here with me, and we're working all that out, which ones are coming, and we want everyone to have that opportunity. But each week, we'll have some children involved in the introduction of the message. Next week, we're talking about the shepherds, the wonder of Christmas. Christmas around the manger, all the different folks that were around the manger scene, and what we can learn from that. This is the time we call Advent. Advent means the coming. This is the time that in the season we call our time of Advent. And I want to encourage you, beginning this Thursday, December the 1st, to begin a devotional, an Advent devotional with your family. We have some copies of that back on Information Central's table back there, but also it's mentioned in the bulletin. There's a free download online that you can get this great book that's a devotional. John Piper actually wrote this particular one, and it'll help you keep Christ in the center of Christmas for you and your family. So I want to encourage you to do that. Now, tonight at 6, we're also going to be meeting tonight for Bible study. The children's choirs will meet at 5 o'clock, excuse me, and then we're going to meet for our series, God's Precious Promises. We're talking about His promise for strength tonight. If you need strength, spiritual strength in your life, we're going to talk about God's promises, and I'm going to relate that. I want you to think about this. How would that relate to the fabric of a seatbelt? There's a Bible verse that gives me that picture, all right? And I'm going to be talking about that tonight, the God's promises related to strength. Now, we're in Judges chapter 7, and we're talking about Gideon. We're going to close out the story of Gideon today. We talked about him last week. Gideon was busy, and the Lord called him. Gideon was doubtful, and he actually became labeled by those around him when he took his stand for the Lord. Today, in Judges chapter 7, we see him in victory. Now, I just want to say this as we begin, though. The title of the message is Take a Sip of Water and Get Ready for Battle. You know, sometimes it's the little things that we do that separate those who are ready for battle in the Lord's army. Sometimes it's the little things that separate the men from the boys, so to speak. Daniel was a young man who went off, if you remember that story of Daniel, he went off, and the Bible says in Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, but he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He made a commitment in his own time to commit himself to the Lord's work. Little did he know what were the odds that Daniel would have reigned in Babylon over 5 different kingdoms. God uses the little things. So I want to, as we look at the scripture today, I want us to realize this kind of thing happened to Gideon, and it happened to Gideon's men. Actually, he his group was whittled down to 300 warriors that ended up winning against the Midianites. And this is our story in Judges chapter 7. Now, you find your place in your copy of God's Word. I'm going to read, and we're going to move through this chapter and not read every verse. So pay attention, so I'll tell you which verse we're looking at. This is Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Now, Gideon had been called. Remember, he doubted. He put out the fleece. I just want to make sure you remember the story. He had put out the fleece, and one time he said, "Lord, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry." And the Lord did it. And he said, "Would you do it again, Lord?" And he said, "I want this time the ground to be wet and the fleece to be dry." And the Lord did it. It's a picture of God's grace and patience with us when he wants us to do something for him. So here he finally decided, "I'm going to gather up this army." He does that in verse 1. Look at verse 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained." So here he is with 32,000 people, and the Lord says there's too many, all right? And so he says, "Anybody that's scared, tell them they can go home." And so 22,000 of them left, and only 10,000 remained. Verse 4, "But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' the same shall not go." And so the Lord said, "I'm going to whittle this group down from 10,000 to even a smaller group." So he does that in verses 4 and following. Now, I want you to look at verse 10 and 11. Skip down to verse 10 and 11. So he has his group at this point, and he says, and the Lord is talking to Gideon here in verse 10. He says, "But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant." The Lord is talking to Gideon, and Gideon is still doubtful. He's still somewhat afraid to take this army and defeat the Midianites after all the Lord has done. Sound familiar? You know anybody that the Lord may be calling to do something and you're still a little timid about it? Well, this is what Gideon did. And so he says, "I want you, if you're still afraid, I want you to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant," verse 11, "and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. And we're gonna look at what happened down there. But he went down there, and he was strengthened. Now go to verse 15, all right? Skip down to verse 15. "And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand.'" Verse 16. "Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with an empty pitcher, with empty pitchers, and torches inside the pitchers." He had 300 men, church. They had a trumpet, they had a torch inside a pitcher. Now these guys were going out to war against a myriad of enemies, okay? Now, look at verse 17. "And he said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp. And say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" Verse 19. "So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Verse 21. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Verse 22. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. The Lord confused the Midianites, in other words, and the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerarah and as far as the border of Abel, Meholah, and Tabith. Verse 23, and the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh and pursued the Midianites. So this is the story of how the Lord delivered Gideon and his 300 men and all Israel from the Midianites. He whittled the group down. So there are four things that I want us to learn as we think about the victory and as we think about taking a sip of water. Listen, taking a sip of water and going into battle. That's what I want us to think about. Now, the first thing, number one, you must face your bad odds. Now, I want you to think about this. In verse 2, go back to Judges chapter 7, verse 2. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many." Now, this is unusual. You'd think that the Lord would be happy with the 32,000 who had been rustled up to do battle against the Midianites. But contrary to what we may think, instead of the Lord saying, "You know what, they are too many, the enemy's too many," he said, "Gideon, you have too many." And it's typical that God's people have bad odds. Look at verse 12 in our chapter 7. This is a verse we didn't read. Look at verse 12. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand of the seashore in multitude. I mean, they had a lot of reinforcements. I mean, he talks about 32,000 that Gideon had, and yet when he doesn't describe the Midianites and the Amalekites as a certain number of thousand, he describes them like the sand of the sea. I mean, they were everywhere, and so many they didn't even count them. He didn't even put it in the scripture how many there were. I would say that Gideon had bad odds. He had bad odds before he got started, and yet the Lord says, "You have too many people." And so the Midianites, they had camels. We find back in chapter 6, verse 5, they had all kinds of camels without number. It was an amazing, amazing odds. Now, why does God typically, and listen to this, this is important, God typically uses a small number of people to do his work. Or he typically puts his people at bad odds, or allows his people to be at bad odds. Well, in verse 3, he tells us why he does that. Look at verse 3. Judges chapter 7, verse 3. "Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead." And then he says this, "And 22,000 of the people return, and 10,000 remain." Look at the end of verse 2. I apologize. Look at the end of verse 2. He says there at the end of verse 2, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest," here's the reason, "lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me." Can I say this to you? One of the reasons that if you're going to do battle for the Lord, you've got to face bad odds is because the Lord will not share his glory with you. The Lord, he puts us in a position that we know only God could have done it. You see, if everything that happens in our church, if everything that happens in your life is explainable because of your skill, because of your effort, then you may decide you want to take glory for it. And the Lord says, oh no, I want it to be clear, crystal clear, that I have moved. Folks, I tell you, in every one of our services, I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. If you don't move in the hearts of people, nothing of any value is going to get done. Folks, we can gather up here. We've got great musicians. You know, I have studied. I've got material here. I've got my notes right here. Man, I've been digging into this passage. There's some great truth here. But can I say this to you? Unless God moves in hearts, there's not really anything of value that's going to happen. I don't know about you, but there's probably a lot of things we could all be doing rather than just having another meeting. But we're asking God to do something powerful. One of the things is, as God uses you, you've got to face bad odds. The Lord will not share his glory with anyone else. I think about Shamgar. We studied Shamgar several weeks ago. He had 600 to 1 odds. He used the little tool that he had, a little plow, an ox goad is what they called it. And one man took on 600 Philistines and he defeated them. I don't think anybody would say, well, he was just an amazing fighter. I think they would know that God had his hand upon Shamgar. I think about the 12 disciples. I was reading earlier about the disciples and how that they, when Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, how they literally, those disciples shook the known world with the gospel message. Hey, we are the beneficiaries right here today of the faithfulness of these disciples who followed Jesus Christ. He's always used what people have called the master's minority. There are those that the Lord has called out to be used. They faced difficult odds. They faced bad odds. So I just want to encourage you that if God is giving you an assignment, now think about this. If God is giving you an assignment and you think, boy, I could never do that. Boy, the odds of me succeeding in that are very far-fetched. Guess what? You're a great candidate for God to use. Because in all of Scripture, we see God doing this over and over again. And he told Gideon, he said, look, you've got too many people. You've got 32,000. He said, I want you to weed some of them out. And he did. So you not only face bad odds, the second thing is you face small tests. Now, in verse 4, he says, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them. That word test means to smelt. That's an interesting word. It means to refine. God uses the little things to test us. Hey, look, if we can't pass the little tests, how are we going to be used of God in the big battles? God uses the little things. So I want to encourage you that as God is working in your life and giving you an assignment, he's going to use small tests. Now let's follow along and let's see what the test was. Look at verse 4. He says, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there, that it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, verse 5. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lap putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Okay, church, get this picture. By the way, y'all out there today? Man, this atmosphere is kind of, it's a little unique here, okay? I don't know, but just hang with me. Somebody just breathe loud every once in a while. I just want to know you're alive, okay? Okay, so just kind of get with me here. He has 32,000. The Lord says, everybody that's fearful, send them home. So he gets up there and says, anybody afraid? That was a test of courage. 22,000 said, yeah, I'm afraid. And they had 10,000 left. And the Lord said, all right, I've got another way. I'm going to whittle it down to 300. The Lord set it up for bad odds because he does not share his glory with anyone else. So here's the test. He says, everyone who laps like a dog, kick him out. Now, this first test was a test of courage. The second test, listen, many believe was a test of alertness, because here's what happens. If I'm going to battle and they say, hey, get down there and get some water. I'm thirsty anyway, so y'all just bear with me. Where's a microphone? Where's a microphone on this thing? I don't want to submerge this microphone. But anyway, here's what he said. He goes, I want you to tell the men to go down there and get water. Okay? He said, now look, if they do it like this, kick them out. But he said, watch this. If they do it like this, that's your 300. I got water all over the stage up here. Hey, listen. The first was a test of courage. The second was a test of alertness. So he calls them down. Hey, small tests. I read a statement this week. This whole message, you may think, well, I don't know if it was worth it anyway, Pastor, but it was worth it to me, okay? This whole message and this whole week was worth this one statement that I read in Warren Wiersbe's commentary, where he said this. He said he had this on a piece of paper and he put it on his desk, and he said for all the decades of his ministry, it reminded him of this. It says this, quote, make every occasion a great occasion. For you can never tell when somebody may be taking your measure for a larger place. A man named Marston said that. Wiersbe had that on a piece of paper affixed to his desk, and he says, it's yellowed now, but it has helped me through the years. Make every occasion a great occasion. Can I tell you this? Small tests. You say, oh man, I can't wait. I want to be used of God in a huge way. Man, I really want to be used of God. You mean tell you how to be used of God? Do the small things well. He said, everyone who gets down on all fours and drinks, call them out, but the one who drinks with his hand, that's the one you want to use. I give you a couple of examples. I heard the story of a well-known leader in the Navigator ministry who was mentoring a young man, and the young man and him were traveling. They stopped at a filling station, and they went in to use the restroom, and the young man was standing there, and the older seasoned Christian had taken paper towels and had taken a number of them and was cleaning the counter. And the young man made a kind of a funny comment and said, I see you're cleaning up, you getting ready for a new day job? And the seasoned Christian said to the young man, he said, I don't know about you, but when I study the life of Christ, everywhere Jesus went, he left it a better place than when he got there. And he said, I'm going to take the time to clean this up just a little bit so the next guy that comes along will have a cleaner sink. I remember a young man in his early 20s coming to interview for a position at our church when I was a youth pastor. He was to lead the largest high school choir in the country. He was coming just to make an interview. The man who was interviewing him said, "This guy is so young and green, I don't even know if he could even do it." He later told me, he said, "You know why I gave him an interview is because of this." Now listen, he said, this man walked in to his office, and here's what my friend said. He said, he took me by the hand and he shook my hand. He looked straight into my eyes and he said, "Hello, my name is Joseph Bolin. It's so good to meet you today." My buddy was so impressed. He sat down with that man. Why? Because he looked him in the eye and he shook his hand. Folks, listen, life is made up of small tests. Hey, take a sip of water and go to battle. Do the small things well, because you never know when God is using the small things to prepare you for the big tests. So the Lord whittled it down to 300. John Wesley said this, "Give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and I will shake the gates of hell." Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Many times we have bad odds. Face it. If you're going to do something for the Lord, you're probably going to face bad odds. The second thing is you're probably going to have small tests. Here's the third thing. You're probably going to have weak faith. Number three, you've got to struggle with weak faith. And we're going to hurry through this. In verses 10 through 17, he gives us this passage. In verse 10, he says, "But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands will be strengthened to go down against the camp." And he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were there in the camp. Verse 12, "Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number, as the sand of the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion, and he said, 'I have a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed.' Then his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp.'" Verse 15, "And so it was when Gideon heard this." See, Gideon and Purah snuck in. Now, folks, listen. All the tests of chapter 6, Gideon went through all these tests. Remember, he told the angel of the Lord to wait, and he said, "I'm going to go get an offering ready." And the Lord struck the offering, and fire came, and that revealed that it was of the Lord. And then he did the fleece thing twice. This guy still has weak faith, and God is still patient with him. And he says, "Look, if you're doubting again, face your weak faith. Go down, sneak down, and listen to this guy that had a dream." And the dream was that Gideon's army was going to defeat them, and so that strengthened Gideon to the point. And so we see weak faith. I don't know what your situation is. But I want to encourage you that the Lord is patient with you even in your weak faith. You trust him. You put your faith in him. So when we are going to take a sip of water and go into battle, we face bad odds for sure. And then we face this weak faith. Number four, you see glorious victory. And in verses 18 through 25, we read about it. God gave them a plan of faith. I want you to take torches, I want you to take pitchers, I want you to take trumpets, bust the pitchers, light the torches, blow the trumpets, and scream, "The sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon." And they did that, and the Lord gave them great victory. He confused the enemy, and they turned on themselves. And the scripture says that they ran them out. He actually, at the end of this chapter, he gathers up, you know, the 22,000 that left, and then the other 9,700 that drank the water in the wrong way. I can imagine that after they had routed the enemy, that when they were chasing them, I'm sure they got in on it. There's some people that maybe they don't pass the small tests, but when the great victory comes, they get in on it. Well, there was a glorious victory. In verse 17, look at this. This is Judges chapter 7, verse 17. Gideon said this, and he said to them, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do." He said, "Do as I do." In other words, watch me. And folks, as you face the battle that you face, as you're faithful in the small tests, you can say to those that follow along behind you, "Do as I do." And that's exactly what Gideon did. And so we see that God gave them a tremendous plan. It was a plan of faith. It didn't necessarily make sense. But I guarantee you, whenever the Lord delivered the Midianites into the hand of Gideon and God's people, it was very clear that God had done it. They beat those odds. They faced the bad odds, and they won the victory. Small tests. In El Dorado, Oklahoma, in 1909, there was a young man born named W.A. Criswell. Some of you know his name because he was the longtime pastor at First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. He ended up going to Baylor University. He went to Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, and he studied. He went back to Oklahoma and started pastoring churches. In the great city of Dallas, at First Baptist Church there was a pastor, George W. Truett. George W. Truett was bigger than life. George W. Truett was probably the most respected pastor of any church. Huge church, huge impact, huge ministry. When Dr. Truett finished 50 years of ministry, they were on the search for someone to take the place of George W. Truett. Someone had suggested the pastor at First Baptist Church of Muskogee, Oklahoma. I don't know where Muskogee is, but there's a Muskogee, Oklahoma, and he was the pastor there. It was W.A. Criswell. When they said, "We'd like to come hear you preach," he said, "Well, I'm doing a little revival in a church here in Oklahoma. You can come hear me there." The committee from First Dallas had probably heard and been recommended, you know, pastors of huge churches, great orators. But what impressed them is that this pastor, W.A. Criswell, was willing to go to a little church and preach a revival in that little teeny church. They went and heard him, and they met and they prayed about it, and they said, "We believe this is the man whom God is going to bring to Dallas." In 1944, W.A. Criswell went to First Baptist Dallas. He led that church to be, at the time, the largest ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention, and he pastored it for 50 years. Dr. Criswell probably didn't realize that the fact that he was willing to take that assignment was one of the turning points in him being able to eventually become the pastor of that great church. He became the patriarch of what is called the conservative resurgence of the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention is the only mainline denomination that has gone in a liberal direction and has been brought back to be a conservative evangelical denomination. God used Dr. Criswell, a guy who nobody knew about, until he went and preached in a small place. And someone on that committee, somebody on that group, felt impressed that this man would take that assignment. You see, here's the point, folks, is that what were the odds that he would become that pastor? He had to face those odds. He had to face small tests. He saw a glorious victory as a result of the commitment that he made. And that's exactly what happened to Gideon. The Lord said, "Gideon, you got too many people." And so he created a situation that Gideon would have to say it was the Lord that did it. Folks, can I tell you this? Everything that happens around here, everything that happens in our individual lives for Christ, we need to pray, Lord, make it clear that you did it. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.